want to continue with last week's topic a little bit, more about trees and Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat's the Shabbos, Mirtz Hashem. It's actually nice for us on a Shabbos, give a little more time to think about it. During the week, we're always just, you know, we don't think about what's happening in terms of the calendar, it's not a Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, we have time to sit and think about Tu B'Shvat, so we'll have more ideas to think about this year. So we discussed a lot last week about the symbolism of Shabbat and the trees beginning to blossom, despite the fact that it's still winter and you don't see anything. I want to focus a little more on fruit trees this week. Because fruit trees, you know, in Machshava and Halacha have a very, very deep meaning. And Tu B'Shvat is the time to really think about trees and the meaning of trees in Torah and in Jewish life. And fruit trees, in particular, are the tree of Tu B'Shvat. Because Tu B'Shvat is the birthday of trees relevant to the fruits growing on the tree is when they associate with the previous year or the coming year, as we discussed last week. So I want to discuss how fruit trees have a very special place in Halacha first. Besides the fact that fruit trees have halacha of orla, Karen Ravai, different halachas that pertain to fruit trees, there's also the isser of baltashkas. You know, we use the word baltashkas a lot. I mean, don't waste your food, don't be wasteful, don't destroy things to a purpose. In the Torah, baltashkas' source is about fruit trees. It says that when you're putting a siege on a city, the army is putting a siege on a city, you shouldn't destroy the fruit trees around the city. Many armies have this attitude of being very destructive. We're here, we're going to break down everything in our path. The Torah says, you know, what did the fruit tree do to you? There was a fruit tree, a human being. You know, that you're trying to fight against the enemy army. The fruit tree is not a human being. You automate the sada, you're not a sada. Fruit tree is a fruit tree. It gives you fruit, don't destroy it. So from there, we learn the concept of baltashkas overall, that we learn not to be destructive of anything useful in life. But the actual source for it comes from a fruit tree. Now, it's interesting because if you look at the halacha, nikar adin, you're allowed to cut down a fruit tree when there's a purpose to it. If you want to, you know, expand your house, the fruit tree's in the way, so technically you can cut it down. There's a lot of situations where halacha allows you to cut down a fruit tree for a constructive purpose. However, the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, Maseches Baba Kama, Rav Chanina says that my son, Shivchis, that was his name, my son Shivchis, only died early because he cut down a fig tree prematurely. So there's discussion that did he cut it down? Was there a heter to cut it down the time or not? Did he have a reason to cut it down? But bottom line, you find that even though the Torah does not hold somebody liable to the death penalty for cutting down a fruit tree, there is this concept the Gemara says that cutting a fruit tree has a sakana involved. It's not just that you're violating a typical issur of the Torah, but there's actually a danger in cutting down a fruit tree, which is a very strange thing. So again, if you have a fruit tree in your yard, you're thinking about cutting down, ask your rabbi first. You know, we're talking halacha right now. But you do see a fruit tree has this like special standing that cutting down a fruit tree could be liable to death, and it seems so strange. Like, what is it about a fruit tree which is so significant? But we find that fruit trees have this special place, you know, in Jewish thought. So I want to think more about fruit trees and what they really mean to us. First, if you look at, you know, in Bereishis, at the creation of the world. So the original primary food of Adam was fruits. You know, Gan Eden was a garden of fruit trees. So Yita Hashem, Gan Eden, Hashem, Vayita means Hashem planted. Vayita is a word planting trees. He didn't plant cucumbers and tomatoes, he planted fruit trees. Gan Eden was fruit trees. We call Itzagan Achol Tochel. From all the trees of the garden, you may eat. Man was forbidden to eat meat originally. Meat was only made mutter after the time of Noah. But originally, Adam could not eat any meat. Meat was off limits. The pasuk does mention esef hasadeh, that we did have some sort of heter to eat, some sort of grasses, unclear what we're referring to. But the main food of Adam at creation was certainly fruit trees. That seems to be very clear. A tree, I feel, is a mini representation of Hashem's kindness in the world. I mean, a tree is so special to us because a tree represents, in its whole, Hashem's kindness to us, Hashem giving to us, Hashem taking care of us. The pleasures of this world can be all looked at as symbolized by a fruit tree. Why is that? I mean, number one is the initial food that Adam had. That's what Hashem bestowed upon Adam to eat. That was his parnasa, that's what he ate from. But also, trees grow with very little toil. When you plant a tree, once it gets firmly rooted and starts growing, you don't have to do much to a tree. If you have a garden of tomatoes, or you're growing corn, there's a lot. Every single year you have to replant it. You have to, you know, there's a lot of work that has to be done in order to maintain vegetables and grains. When it comes to fruit trees, once they're firmly established, I mean, there's not that much to do. they're there and they grow fruits every single year and you harvest it and you wait for the next year. That's how fruit trees work. They come back year to year. They're not subject as much to weeds and things like that like other vegetables would be. It's a constant giving source to us without taking very much from us. So it's like Hashem giving to us constantly without us having to have any input. And that was Hashem giving us the pleasure, giving us food, giving us sustenance. That's a fruit tree. So the world of Bereishis, it was a world where it was very apparent that Hashem was caring for every single being. Adam and Chava and all the animals were cared for by Hashem. And the fruit tree, the Gan Eden was fruit trees. It was a symbol to us of Hashem's kindness. Hashem was trying to show us that you'll do no work and you'll be cared for. You have these delicious, sweet fruits. They're colorful, and there's a great variety to them, and there's textures, and there's tastes, and they're sweet, and they're juicy. That was one of the branches. It didn't require us to do any plowing or planting or weeding. It was just the fruits were available. We could eat them. They're delicious, and they sustained us. Only after the chayt of Adam, the chayt of Tzadas, do we find that Adam was forced to now have to farm and work hard to eat his food. We know that's the Zispeto Halechem is the pasuk that you know, by the sweat of your brow you have to eat your bread. But the Gemara tells us in Psachim that when Adam, after Adam sinned, so Hashem came to him and he said, "Kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. You're going to have weeds and thorns growing your food. Now farming is going to be a tough process. No more easy food." And Adam began to cry. Adam said, "So I'm going to now have to share food with a donkey. You know, I used to have special treatment. I was given fruit trees, and I could eat from them, and that's all I had to eat, and my sustenance was totally coming from the fruit trees. And now I'm forced to farm and to weed and everything else." So Hashem told Adam, "You'll eat bread by the sweat of your brow." What does that mean? It means that you'll have a special food. The bread is a human food. Therefore, don't eat bread. Well, that's going to take a lot of hard work. But we see that Adam, initially, did not have to work for his food, and now he's happy to hear that he gets to have human food, but it's only b'zesefecha. He has to work hard for it. Because before the sin, it was very, very clear that Hashem was there caring for Adam, taking care of him, giving him delicious nourishment through these fruits. And afterwards, Adam was stuck having to work for himself. So that was the transition that Adam had to go through in order to you know, because of his sins, to recognize that now it's up to me. I can no longer see, at least, Hashem's direct hand giving me my sustenance. So that's what happened in terms of Gan Eden. And we find that many Farshim explain that after the Chait, we'll talk about it more, the fruits did not give enough nourishment to maintain Adam. Now our diets are not totally fruits. And if they were totally fruits, I don't know if we'd have enough, you know, we need the protein, we need everything else. Even many Farshim even explain the heter for meat after Noach's time was because the lamb became weaker, the human became weaker, and we had to have just something more in our diet. We couldn't just handle fruit anymore. So the whole world transitioned that the earth gave forth much weaker and leaner fruit, so it couldn't sustain us anymore. But initially, the fruit was it, and the fruit was such a delicious and nourishing food, it could sustain us, and we could enjoy it, and it came from Hashem with very, very, very little effort, very little toil. It's very interesting that the Gemara tells us it's a halacha, and we practice this, that every year in the spring, there's the idea of making a bracha on a fruit tree. Gemara says that if you go out in the days of Nisan and you see blossoming fruit trees, there's a bracha to make. Now halacha tells us it's not only Nisan, anytime in the spring, whenever you see a fruit tree, you can make a bracha once a year, but you can make a bracha on a blossoming fruit tree. And what's that bracha? The bracha is Shelo Chisar Balamu Klum. Hashem has no lacking in his world. Uvaravo Brios Tovos. Hashem made in the world good creations. Vilanos tovos and good trees, lahanos pem bnei adam, so that the human being can have pleasure. So the bracha is that you see a fruit tree, and what comes to our mind? Now the bracha is always the way the Chazal teach us, what should we think upon seeing a certain event? You know, you hear the thunder, so your mind should immediately go to Hashem's greatness and power fills the world. You know, when you see lightning, and you're thinking about Hashem, continues doing the works of Bereishis. So Chazal teach us what to think about when we see events in the world. So you see a blossoming fruit tree, what are you supposed to think about? So the answer is that Hashem created a beautiful world for us to enjoy. That's what the bracha says. Hashem made a beautiful world lacking nothing, with good trees and good creations, so that we can enjoy. That's what it's there for. The world is there for us to enjoy. So the bracha you make on the blossoming fruit trees, it's an amazing lesson that Hashem made a world, the hanos pem adam, that we can just enjoy from, that we're supposed to take pleasure in. And the fruit tree is a symbol of this world. It's created for our pleasure. Like we said, Mikol Itzagan Achol Tocha. Adam was put into Gan Eden, and he was told, eat all the fruits of the trees, just not the Itzadas, but all the other trees are totally fine. You should enjoy them. You should have that pleasure from my world. Hashem created a world for our pleasure. You know, I find it fascinating. You think about a tree, it's not just the fruit. I mean, the tree gives us wood, gives us shade. You know, you have many, many things. We use products of trees to make many, many products that we use. You have the leaves. When I was little, my mother used to love reading me the book, The Giving Tree. Remember that book, The Giving Tree? But to me, that's the concept. The tree, a tree is something which is totally giving. It takes very little effort on our behalf to grow a tree, but it gives and gives and gives and gives. It's one of her favorite books, was The Giving Tree. I remember reading that many times as a kid. But that's us. That's the idea of Lahanos from the Adam. A tree that Hashem gives us is a giving tree. Trees give to us, and they're there for our pleasure. So the tree tells us to appreciate the pleasures of this world, to appreciate the beauty of the world, Hashem's kindness. It's a direct gift from Hashem. So we can understand that, you know, cutting down a fruit tree, beyond the fact that it's wasteful, we're denying this whole symbolism of Hashem giving us this beautiful being of pleasure in this world. It's something that's supposed to stand as a symbol of Hashem's giving, Hashem's kindness, Hashem's caring for us. And to cut it down thoughtlessly is not recognizing this fact, not getting the lesson. So the first idea of a fruit tree is that it should be for us such a powerful lesson of Hashem caring for us. You know, in the lives that we live, you know, we're not as involved in farming. We don't see as many trees around us, at least fruit trees around us. We're not involved too much in any sort of like agriculture. You know, go back a couple hundred years, everyone's on agriculture. That was normal. But for us, it's to appreciate, you know, where the food comes from. And we do have fruit trees around the neighborhood. Everyone has fruit trees here and there. I don't know if you have any in your house, but, you know. But many people do have fruit trees in their yards. But to walk by a fruit tree, and just especially in Nisan, when you have the idea of making this bracha, and saying, Hashem, look at this beautiful creation you made. And not just the tree, the whole world's a beautiful place, and it's there for us to enjoy. That's a powerful lesson of a fruit tree. So one thought for Tu B'Shvat is that, you know, the one, I guess, halacha quoted for Tu B'Shvat that's relevant for us non-farmers is there is a concept of having lots of fruit in Tu B'Shvat. And the idea of having fruit in Tu B'Shvat is to appreciate fruit and fruit trees. That's the idea. So if Tu B'Shvat, we sit down and enjoy our fruit, so we should go to this thought process that, wow, this fruit is delicious and sweet and colorful, and it has great texture, and it has juice inside, or dried fruit. You can, you know, you can preserve it without the juice, but you know, the fruits are delicious. And to think, wow, Hashem has such a beautiful world with so much pleasure that He offers to us, that's an incredible thought to have, and that brings us to a measure of a karas tov for Hashem. So that's one thought. But let's take it a step deeper. The Chazal tell us, and it's really in the pasuk, initially, every single tree should have been a fruit-bearing tree. And we look around outside now, and we see what we call Ilan Esrak. Trees don't bear any fruit. And probably most trees in the world don't bear fruit, in the world that we're in right now. But that's not how it was supposed to be. When Hashem first gave thee a command that trees should grow, so Hashem said, let's read the pasuk inside. It says, Vutze Aretz Desha, before that, V'imro Kim, Tatshe Aretz Desha, Isa Mazria Zera, Itz Pri Yosef Pri. Hashem said the ground should sprout forth grass. It should have grass that gives forth seeds so it can reproduce. And Itz Pri Yosef Pri, it should produce fruit trees that make fruit. Lamino, each to their own species. Asher Zaro Bo, that has its seeds within, Al Aretz, on the land, Vayichin, and it was so. And it says, "Vatotze aretz, itzo sepri." The land brought forth trees that make fruit. Nor does it mention non-fruit-bearing trees in Brachos. It doesn't say it anywhere. It's very clear, just if you read the psukim and translate them, that initially the whole world, every single tree, was meant to bear fruit. So the question is, what happened? So if you look at the Mefarshim, the Ramban, or Achayim, many Mefarshim explain that only after the Chait did trees stop bearing fruit. So the world we're in now that has such a very relatively few fruit trees, that's a result of chait. But that's not the ideal state of the world. The ideal state of the world is that every single tree should give fruit. The reason after the chait trees stopped giving fruit, which is explained by the Mefarshim, is as we said, the ground became weaker, and therefore the trees grew weaker. They weren't able to produce the fruit. Arur HaAdamah it says. You know, Hashem also cursed the ground itself. That's what we have after the chait. Let's read that also. After the chait, the pasuk says, "Arura ha'adama b'avarecha." The ground is now cursed because of you. You're going to have to eat with difficulty your entire life. So what that means partially is that the ground itself became much more difficult to farm. Things don't grow as easily, and the fruit trees won't grow fruit anymore. Many, many trees that used to grow fruit no longer grow any fruit. So there may have been so many more species of fruit in the world that we don't even run aware of. You know, it's much more delicious and greater than we have right now. But initially, the world was meant to be a world of only fruit trees. Which means on a deeper level, the natural state of the whole Bria is that it should bear fruit, be productive, produce benefits in mankind. If you would think of the symbol of a non-fruit-bearing tree and a fruit-bearing tree, what are we saying? We're saying a fruit-bearing tree is that it's productive, as we say, it's fruitful, it's productive, it accomplishes, it gives benefit to the entire world. A non-fruit-bearing tree is very limited in what it can produce. It doesn't have that same benefit to the human being as the fruit-bearing tree does. So the state of the world, in the ideal sense, would have been that everything was very, very fruitful, could bring forth its potential, could accomplish, and could give goodness to all of mankind. What happened was, because of the chait, we lost that. And after the chait, we're now stuck with trees that aren't so fruitful. And we'll talk about more what that means for us as well. But that's the result of the chait. Now Chazal tell us, l'asid lavo, that the ilan esrak, all the non-fruit-bearing trees, will again give fruit. Rashi says it in Parsha of the Chukosai, it says, Etza Sari Tempirio is one of the brachos given. And Rashi says it means in the future, Lasid Lavo, even the Ilan Esrak, the non-fruit-bearing trees, once again, they will bear fruit. It's quoted in the Gemara, it's quoted in the Medrash. And that shows us that having non-fruit-bearing trees is not the norm. That's not normal. We're living in a world which is not the way it's supposed to be. If the world is in its ideal state, every single tree that we would see would bear fruit, delicious fruit for us to enjoy. And we're stuck in a world where some trees just don't bear fruit. This is a result of the sin, Arura Adama, because the ground is cursed. And now Adam, physically, is forced to deal with weeds and thorns, and Zeis HaPecha, difficulty in farming, and difficulty making a parnasa. That's what we're stuck with in terms of the curse. And the land is less fertile. There's obstacles, and there's weeds, and there's all sorts of things that get in our way. That's what happened as a result of the chait. So we're to take it into a little bit of our own lives and understand what that means for us. We can envision it in a certain way, that we also struggle very often to bear fruits. You know, meaning by that, if we want to accomplish in our lives the best of our potential, to bring out from ourselves the best that we can do, it's difficult, it's a struggle. You would think the world in an ideal sense, every human being would be able to really bring themselves out, work their potential, and accomplish to the best of their ability. But yet, we sometimes run into a brick wall, and we feel that we are, in some sense, the one is rock. You know, we're not being as productive, as accomplished as we could be. We kind of feel limited, we kind of feel constricted. And that's the result of the chait. You know, initially, if every single tree gave fruit, that means every single human being would also be able to bear fruit. And we mentioned before the pasuk, "Chi adam etz hasada." So it says that, by Bal Tashlis, if you're coming to put a siege on a city, don't cut down the fruit trees. And it says, "Chi adam etz hasada," because the way you would read this in terms of the pshat and the pasuk, it's a rhetorical question. V'chi adam etz hasada? Is the tree of the field a human being? But many mefarshim learn it the opposite way, and they say, but for us it means the other way around. You read it as a statement. V'chi adam etz hasada? The human being is a tree. I mean, humans are compared to trees. We mentioned last week with the hill, we find it all the time, we're compared to trees. V'chi adam etz hasada is a pasuk which tells us, not only, so again, the simple reading is the tree a human? But the way that we can understand it as well in the metaphoric sense is that the human being is a tree. We're compared to trees. We're created, destined to be productive and fruitful like those trees. We should all bear fruits. We should all be able to produce in this world and provide goodness to the entire Bria. That's our goal, and that's who we should be. But because of sin, we get so constricted and we can't reach our potential and we get frustrated and we struggle to bring out what we really can. And it makes things difficult. You know, we have so much potential inside. But at a certain point, we feel we're not bringing it out. We feel sterile. And our contributions to the world that we can make just aren't coming out because we're struggling and we just can't do it. We're trying so hard to do the best we possibly can. But yeah, just like those Ilan Esrak, those non-fruit-bearing trees out there, as hard as they try, they're not bearing fruit. So we have that same struggle at times. So Tu B'Shvat's a day where we think about this concept as well. I'm going to pass out a handout. Which really brings out this point that we're discussing. Pass that around. This is a piece from Rusi Techor of Moshe Wolfson Shlita. And we've had handouts from him before in this class. He's he was a mashgiach in the Shiva's Torah Vadas in New York. He is a Rav of a Shul Chassidish thinker. This is a small piece, the top piece over here. He has a piece on Tu B'Shvat. He brings out this concept of how we all feel like we wish we could produce the most we possibly can and be fruitful, and Tu B'Shvat today, or we can really flip ourselves around in that sense. So he writes, B'Parshas B'Chukosai, the top right column. So in B'Chukosai it says, Al Kasuv Itzai Tem Period, says that the fruit of the tree of the field shall bear fruit. That's one of the brachos. B'Chukosai has in it the klalos, has a tochacha in it, all the rebukes from Hashem, and the threats and the punishments. But it begins with the brachos. And one of the brachos is that the trees of the field shall bear fruit. And Rashi explains, Perish Rashi, B'Shem Chazal, quoting from Chazal, from the Medrash, from the Gemara, Rashi says, in the future, the Ilan Esrak, the non-fruit-bearing trees, will indeed bear fruits. And that's how they were created initially. Only because of the curse of the land do they no longer bear fruit, as the Maral explains. So now he explains how this waits to us on Tu B'Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat, we know, is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. So just like we're judged on Rosh Hashanah for our year, as human beings, so he says that trees are judged on Tu B'Shvat. Nishpatim Ailanos, on Tu B'Shvat the trees are judged. Im Yizku Lohotzi Peros B'Kayetz Haba, will these trees merit to bring forth fruit this coming summer? Kolomar, Im Tiyah HaGu'ula V'Azafilon Esra Masim Peros. So on a deeper level, the question is, will the Gu'ula come, and therefore these trees that are currently non-fruit-bearing trees, they can't produce, will they give forth fruits this year or not? So it's going beyond, will my apple tree in my yard produce a lot of apples? We're saying, will my oak tree, which doesn't give any fruit, will give fruits this year? So that's the din coming on. Will the geula come, which will then allow those trees to produce fruits? So certainly on a day like this, he says very poetically, that those non-fruit-bearing trees are certainly davening to Hashem, also begging for the geula. They're waiting for their chance to produce these trees. We say, we actually quote this in Kabbalah Shabbos, that then all of the trees of the forest will sing to Hashem. So what's it referring to? The times of Mashiach. This pasuk is referring to the times of Mashiach. And in those times, even the trees of the forest, the non-fruit-bearing trees, Ilan Esrak, Yotziu Peros, they will give forth fruits of the Al Shezachu Vazei Ranu, because they've been Zoche and they bear their fruits, that's why they sing to Hashem. So those trees are waiting for their moment. When can we restore ourselves to the original Bria, where we used to give fruits back in times of Adam, and then we're going to sing to Hashem in praise, and now we can actually accomplish our full potential and bear fruits. Vinei B'yom Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, so Tu B'Shvat. So we see on Tu B'Shvat, the Ilan Esrak, even non-fruit-bearing trees are judged. So we thought Tu B'Shvat was all about fruit-bearing trees. He tells us, no, Tu B'Shvat is also going to include the non-fruit-bearing trees, and they want to know, these trees are awaiting the moment, will we be zocha to the bracha this year of Eitz Tzayit Imperio, that the trees of the field will bear fruits. And now he says an amazing gematria. Raise the pillow. Look at this amazing gematria. Ve'etza sari temperio. The pasuk of the etza sari, the trees of the field will give forth fruits. That's exactly the gematria of chamisha asar b'shvat, of Tu B'Shvat. So chamisha asar b'shvat equals that the trees of the field will give forth fruits. It's like I always say, gematrias don't stand alone, but when you have an idea to support it, and you see the gematria, you're like, wow, it fits 100%. A beautiful gematria. So chamisha asar b'shvat equals that etza sari temperio. And that shows us that Tu B'Shvat is the day that we are yearning to see these Ilan Esrak, these non-fruit-bearing trees, be able to bear fruit. And now he shows us how we can use this for our own tefillos as well. Ve'adua ki adam eitz hasadeh. It's well known, as we explained, that a human being is compared to a tree. Somebody who feels deep down that they're in some way like a you know, srak, non-fruit bearing. And again, it doesn't mean that every area of life we haven't accomplished. All of us, Baruch Hashem, are very accomplished people in this room. But everyone has those areas they feel that they could do more, they try to do more, they struggle to do more, they wish they can bring out more of their potential, and we feel in those areas we're just kind of not doing it. We're sterile, we're not getting there. And Tu B'Shvat is the day where we can say, you know, those areas of ourselves that are srak, that are barren, that aren't giving forth the fruits, and Mesugel B'Yom Zeh L'Ispa'ol, on that day we can dive into Hashem, Shipaket Gam Hotzker, that we should also be remembered by Hashem to bring forth our fruits, to be accomplished, productive, and fruitful. So Tefillah for Tu B'Shvat, for ourselves, will be that just like the trees all wish they could bring forth their fruit, we should find those areas of ourselves that we haven't yet fully developed, and say, Hashem, on this day, please judge us for the coming year, that we should also bear fruits in those areas of our lives. Really beautiful thought. It makes it much more meaningful in sort of tefillah Tu B'Shvat. It's not, again, Tu B'Shvat is not just about the halacha of the fruit. There's much deeper aspect to it. So that's his point. We can relate the idea of the fruit tree to ourselves and use it as a date. Just like the fruit trees on that day are davening to Hashem, or the non-fruit-bearing trees, davening to Hashem, let us bring forth fruit. So we daven to Hashem as well, let us also bear fruits in our lives. We want to accomplish our potential. It's a day we can daven. It's a day we can really daven to Hashem in those areas of our lives. But I want to go back now to this mashal. We keep saying that an Adam is like a tree. Human beings like a tree. So understand on a deeper level, like, what does it mean we're like trees? In what way do we resemble trees? And you know, we mentioned a lot last week, you know, trees have roots. They're made year to year. They're productive. But understand a little deeper level, you know, what exactly is the mashal? When Chazal give a mashal, they're not just giving it as like a vague mashal. There's every single detail really counts. So I want to share one more piece here, one more handout this week. This is the this is the Malbim in Perek Aleph of Tehillim. So last week I said Perek Aleph, and everyone immediately jumped in and said Eitz Shasu Palgei Mayim, right? Because everybody here was very aware of that pasuk, that the tzaddik is compared to the tree, which is planted on water, which is a very, very productive, fruitful tree. Asher Pir Yutem Be'ito, it says in Tehillim that it gives forth its fruit at the right time. V'lo yibo, and the leaves do not wither. V'losh yasi etzliach. And everything the tzaddik does succeeds, successful. So Tehillim Aleph, the very first Kapitel Tehillim, compares the Adam to Eitz HaTzaddik. So I marked off on the bottom here the Malbim. It's a little bit long, but he says a lot of interesting points. He tries to develop a little bit more. What's the mashal of the tzaddik, or the human being, can be compared to a fruit tree? So the bottom right column, that should be in the brackets, Hayaka Eitz. So the tzaddik is like a tree. Im nifne al Adam mitzad koch hatzemeach shebo. So if we're going to view the Adam from his plant aspect, meaning this could be a separate talk, but every single human being, you know, we're humans, but we contain within ourselves also animal aspects and plant aspects. You know, we are a composite of everything in the world. So Adam also has an element which relates to the plant world. So the higher level of plants is the tree, and the human being has similarities to the tree. So how we view it as a tree, but upside down, because the tree has its roots planted in the ground. The human being's roots are planted up in Shemayim, or we'll say two different points here. First thing we'll say is the gufan of the mata. We have to view it as a tree where the roots are on top, and the trunk is going downwards. Ki amoach ba'adam hu tachas asher shbeis asadeh. Because what is our roots? He says it's our brain. Our brain is our roots. Because just like a tree, it draws all its nourishment from the ground to the roots, and then it distributes all the water and nutrition throughout the entire tree. So for us, you know, our brain is our roots, and from our brain, our entire body is controlled, and it takes everything and sends it downwards into the body. That's what our brain does. From our brain come all of our feelings into the branches of our bodies, which are the limbs. Everything, you know, and everything goes back that the brain receives and our brain gives out. Just like the tree will take moisture and nourishment from the roots up into the branches. So from there, the human being will be able to see that he's not exactly like a tree. Because a tree has its life force and its roots in the ground. Because the human being's shoresh is up in the upper realms. From there, the human being is able to receive the influence and the life force from Hashem. As the pasuk says, that we live by the word of Hashem's mouth. But if we were to live only by bread alone, as the pasuk says, we don't live by bread alone. Because if we were, we only turn towards the ground. We'd be upside down. When the human being is focusing totally downwards, and upwards to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so what we're doing is we're walking upside down. Now our roots are over here. But the human being is looking down there. Basically, he's walking on his head. But that's the image that we're trying to bring out. Because he's got everything backwards. If you flip the tree upside down and put the roots up in the sky, the tree's going to die. If the human being puts his or her roots down in the ground, so we're also not going to succeed. Because we don't have our roots planted where they need to be. Our roots need to be planted in our brains, and then ultimately in Shemayim. And once you flip that around, so you have an upside-down person. Rosh Lamata Ragla Maila. So a person focusing totally on the ground, it's like his head's on the ground, his feet are in the sky. It's an upside-down person. V'yamru chachmino zechron levracha, Chazal teach us, shesadikim domim l'ki'ilon shesharsho natua b'makom tahara. The Gemara tells us that a tzaddik is similar to a tree whose roots are planted in a tahor, in a pure place. Its branches may stretch into an impure place. The rush is the opposite. So a tzaddik, despite the fact his branches may end up in an impure place, let's say Olam Haza, let's say tzaddik also might have a difficulty at times, but his roots are firmly planted in a Malkum Tahara, in a place of purity. Then he says, Yishevdo me'esev. We're comparing a tzaddik to an eitz, not to esev. Esev usually is translated as a grass, and a tzaddik is a tree. We say also in Tehillim that Rishayim, they flourish like esev, like grass, and the tzaddik is katamar yifrach. The tzaddik grows like a date palm. So we compare the tzaddik to a tree and Rishayim to grass. What's the difference? The grass will sprout in the springtime, motzi pircho v'zarim nehu, and it grows flowers and seeds based on its species. The yaz yibul v'nina, but then it dries out and it's gone. Achininme shekol tachliso ach kumina lo isho. So all you see at the end is that the entire purpose of that grass was to keep its species alive. It has no individual. Every single blade of grass, every single little brush that grows, has no individual purpose. It grows temporarily. It gives forth seeds, and then it dies. So then it can continue on. The species remains. But that blade of grass has no individual meaning. Look in eitz, but a tree is very different. Just kind of remember, a tree lasts for many, many years. Yotzi tzitz v'perach u'pri, the tree is able to give forth blossoms and flowers and fruits. V'zarabo shanshana, and its seeds come forth every single year. Ki'ilu milvat kiyumino, so the symbolism is that beyond just maintaining the species, Gam Isho Yamod Yom Ramim, its own person means an individual value to a tree, as it were. That tree stands there alone as a meaningful individual tree, not just to carry on the species, but to have meaning on its own right. By Pir Michael, its fruits get eaten, Valeo Latrufa, you can use its leaves for medicines. Mitzana Mashal Haza Omer Ba'ushar Isha Shalma Malosov. So the Mashal was coming to teach us about the human being and his virtues. The human being will be like a eight, and not like an asiv. Look, it's not like a grass, not like a blossom. But we are the tree. Asher rak mino yishmor v'hu tachliso achrom, because the grass just is guarding its own species. Meaning much of plant and animal life, their entire existence really is just survival and then reproduction. That's what animals essentially do. So trees also do that. Well, not trees, but no, plant life does that. And animals do it in a more sophisticated way. You know, so plant life, basically, they take in their nourishment, they survive, they pass on their seeds, and they die. Animals do the same thing, they're a little more fancy. You know, animals run around, and they're very cunning, and they can do sorts of tricks, but essentially animals are living just to survive and to pass on to the next generation. So it's all about the kium hamin. It's just having the species remain, but there's nothing about the individual animal that has any meaning. When it comes to the human being, it's not true. He says, unfortunately, though, hamo bni adam, most people live their lives that way, that they don't live their lives with meaning. They don't try to accomplish anything in terms of their own individual lives. They pursue their own taivas, their own desires, and things of this world. Liasim Uma Lakium Isham. They don't do anything to help themselves, individuals. Rakium Minam. They just try to make sure the species maintains. They want they pass on, they survive, and then they have kids. Onich Yisram Aleihem. As if their only purpose is like the Esav, just to pass on to the next generation. Avuhu Doma Ketzadik, though, is like the tree that besides maintaining the min, Asher Milva Kiyomino, besides maintaining its species, Asher Odyanuv Beseva Gam Ishri Skaim, let's say Odyanuv Beseva. You know, even when a tzadik becomes old, he's still fruitful. Because the actual individual person has meaning, has significance, and gives to the world. Vita prikodesh hilulim, he gives out fruits, Torah, maisim tovim, which is Torah, and good deeds, Rosh Aras Nafsho, in order, because that maintains him as an individual. So, Mom explains a lot more that the idea of a tree, number one, is that it has roots. The human being as a tree has roots as well, but the roots are up and not down. In Shemayim, roots are in our brains, but they're not down in the earth, not down in the Olam Hazeh. And then he explains how a tzaddik is compared to a tree versus a grass or another type of plant, because a tzaddik has meaning in his own individual life. It's not just about passing on to the next generation, but it's about he himself accomplishing and giving and benefiting the world in and of himself. Now if you skip down, I bracketed off one more piece towards the bottom. So it says here in this kapitel, Apal Gemayim, the tree is planted on waters. What's the idea of the waters? Ki Eitz HaNatua B'Makom Yovish. If you plant a tree in dry land, Yidog Mishnas Betzoras. So you're very, very concerned when it's a year of famine, when there's not enough rain. V'yam Mishnas Pri, and the tree will not give forth fruits because there's not enough water. V'yasim Bezman, won't do it at the right time. Look at it too, Apalgim, if you plant a tree in a very, very moist place, Shemotze Tamin Mazono, it'll constantly give forth, it'll constantly find its nourishment, and chusan, its moisture. Kine Yasharim Ba'adas Apilosofim. So he says, so too when it comes to human beings. Even the greatest of philosophers, what he's trying to do here is find, take a good, upstanding, non-Jewish person trying to keep the standard of morals and ethics. He says, that person, though, they're trying, Asher Yisnaig B'Tzedek V'Chesed, that philosopher, that non-Jew who's trying to keep a standard of morals and morality and ethics, he tries to act with justice and Chesed, upon Muslim Sikhliyim, based on his own intellectual understandings. But they can't always find what they need. Because the human mind is limited, and it can't always understand to the bottom of the idea. And eventually, because it has so many things to deal with, the human mind will have flaws and will make mistakes. So you plant a tree on dry land, so some years it works and some years it doesn't. You try to live your life based on what you feel in your mind is ethical, is moral, is right. Well, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't, because you know you're not planted in a firmly in a place constantly giving you that nutrition. Lokin atu al Torah Hashem, but if somebody like a tzaddik is planted in Torah, Torah is a direct word of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, 100% emes. It's absolute. It covers everything. The tzaddik will always find what's right. He'll always get it right. He'll always find what he needs and will not sin because it doesn't run out. Torah is unlimited. The emes of Torah is always there. It has something to say about every situation, and the Torah is always right. If you're working with your own mind, so sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's different. So Palgei Mayim is a symbol of being constantly planted in Torah. Torah is compared to Mayim. Very often you find it in Tanakh, you find it in Chazal. And based on that, the Eitz Shasul Palgei Mayim, it's an Eitz, it's not an Esev. It's planted in water, which means there's a constant inflow of life, of Torah. And that's the image of a tzaddik. So we know that the human being is like a tree. We have our roots up in Shemayim, up in the Torah of Hashem, in Hashem's kindness. And then we're able to take that, and we're able to grow and to give out to the world. That's the human being as a tree. But to even go just one step further with it, we understand that the Lashon HaKodesh, the letters of Lashon HaKodesh, are viewed as the building blocks of creation. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dav. These letters are viewed that every single word in Lashon HaKodesh, the letters are exactly chosen to define the object. We understand this in some ways, but we don't. Some words we don't understand why those are the letters, but some words, the letters kind of jump out at us, and we understand why those are the letters chosen. It says when Adam named all the animals, Adam spoke Lashon HaKodesh, and the animals all came for Adam, he named each animal. It wasn't like a random thing. You are a sus. No, you're a kelev. That wasn't the point. It was that Adam was able to see the essence of the animal and choose the right letters of Lashon HaKodesh that fit the animal. So, again, it is more, I guess, a Kabbalistic idea. But if you look at the word eitz, so two letters in eitz are ayin and tzaddik. Right? So if you want to translate that, it means, you know, look at a tzaddik. Ayin's your eye, and then tzaddik. That's what it is. So if we're saying that the tzaddik is eitz shasul palgemayim, the actual word eitz itself symbolizes ayin tzaddik. Look at a tzaddik. So we see this idea that a tree is really a mushel of a tzaddik. It's very clear from the word itself, ayin tzaddik. If you want to see a tzaddik, look at a tree, and that will give you the mushel of what tzaddik should look like. So just to think about a tree a little bit more, and just understand a little more symbolism, the tree begins with a seed, as is any other plant, begins with a seed. A seed is something that's all potential. It can produce really infinite trees, but right now it's just a little seed. There's nothing more than that. You plant the seed in the ground, and it needs water, it needs sunlight. So in the symbolism, what are we talking about? You know, water, we said, is Torah. Right? The tzaddik, he planted his seed, he's a kid, he's starting to learn, and he has to have lots of Torah to grow. And sunlight. And this, we talked about, you know, Hanukkah time, the idea of light being wisdom, the light of Hashem. Hashem is compared to the sun. So the tzaddik has to spend a lot of time basking in the light of Hashem and learning Torah. Now, it's a long process. You know, nobody comes to tzaddik overnight. So, just like a tree, you know, it slowly sinks into the ground, the roots slowly sink in, a little sprout comes up, you know, you have a little seedling, you know, coming up, and then it's something very, very small. And right now, it's very, very flimsy. It can't grow any fruits yet, it can't do very much. And for a very long time, the tree is just growing and getting thicker and getting stronger, and the roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper. But there's no fruits yet. So, too, a human being is developing and maturing and growing. So it's a long process, and we have to have ourselves firmly rooted in what's right, in Torah, Kekita Hashem, davening, and mitzvahs, everything else, and that helps us sink in our roots. But then you go through the long process of growth. And it's not so big yet, not so many branches, and really, the first thing it has to do is establish those firm roots. That's the main thing for the tree to do in its first year, is establish the firm roots and then start growing upwards. Eventually, it starts stretching out farther, it grows firmer, it grows larger, and after a while you see fruits. Ultimately, that tree can provide nourishment for thousands of people, it can provide shade, it can provide wood, it can do all sorts of things, but it was a long, long process to get there. That's how the tree worked. So where did the process begin? The process began with sinking in the roots and the slow growth. You know, we're very impatient sometimes. We say, okay, you know, I'm ready to make a change in my life, I'm going to do it right away. And the answer is, well, that's not how Avodas Hashem works. You know, it's a process. All of us, no matter where you are in life, if you want to make a change, we have to know that just like the tree, the growth is a very slow process. It's slow and steady, it's sinking the roots. So too for us. If we don't make a change in life, we can't be impatient. We have to know that growing takes patience. You know, you plant the tree, you want the fruits like tomorrow, it's not going to happen. You have to give it, you know, good, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. Finally, you'll see a fruit after 5 years. If a fruit comes too early, it's early, we can't even eat it. So the halacha tells us that those fruits that come too early aren't even good fruits to eat. They're asur b'hana. You can't use those fruits. They're not ready yet for you. You have to give it time. Once the time passes, and the roots sink in, and it's cared for with that water, with that sunlight, so eventually the tree is able to influence the masses and give to us, and so too the tzaddik can also influence and impact the masses. People grow from him. If there's no roots, we know what happens with no roots. If the roots are not strong, then the wind comes and knocks it right over, like it says in Pirkei Avos. If you don't have strong roots, then the wind comes and knocks you right over. I had a tree in my house, you know, the first year we bought our house, in 2009, I think. We had one of those big summer storms, and a huge tree toppled right over in our backyard. Huge tree. And afterwards, we realized that the roots of the tree, for some reason, I think the builder had left like some, I don't know, like cement blocks in the ground or something like that under the tree, something very stupid. So the roots, as they're growing down, they grew sideways. And they weren't deep enough that when the wind really blew strong, the whole tree toppled over because those roots didn't go deep enough. So you have to have very deep roots in order for the tree to survive. If the tzaddik had no roots, if the tzaddik went out prematurely to try to influence others or to teach, so then he will topple over. He won't, you know, he'll produce inferior results. What he does will not be very, very powerful. He has to sink in those roots for a long time in order to succeed. And when we talk to the boys in yeshiva, you know, a lot of the focus in yeshiva is that you're taking your roots down. You know, young boys in yeshiva, they're not ready yet to go out and to really do all that much. It takes time. But when you're learning yeshiva, you're sinking in your roots so that, Mirtz Hashem, in the future, you'll have those roots firmly planted and you can face the challenges of life and you can be able to go out and influence people and live a beautiful life. That's the goal. And where you sink your roots is so important. You know, sometimes you can buy these flowers that are colored by dyes because they plant them into, like, you know, food coloring or something, and they're very vivid and they look beautiful. But it influences the entire flower. So to know, you know, where the roots are planted and how they're planted is very, very significant. So to think you're tzaddik, you know, it's a long process. The roots have to go in the right place. It takes patience. It takes time. But the more patience you give it, and the more solid the roots are, the more solid the person is, and the more they can influence Klal Yisrael. There's no debate amongst many of the, I guess, the Kiruv yeshivas. You know, some yeshivas have the theory that, you know, you take a Baal Tshuva in, teach him Torah for a year or two, and then send him out to do Kiruv himself. And some yeshivas say, well, how can you do that? He needs time. That's not enough time to sink roots in. He himself has barely grown in his own Torah learning, and now you're going to send him out to teach others? He's not ready yet. So other yeshivas will say, no, you'll come to the yeshiva, you'll stick around for 10 years, and then we'll send you out to teach others Torah. You know, but obviously there needs to be balance sometimes. But the idea of these roots are so important, to have those roots planted in order so that then you can produce the fruit. The tree can't produce, it doesn't have the proper roots. The furthermore, the Gemara says, he quoted it in the Malbim before, the Gemara says that a tzaddik is like a tree who has his roots planted in a makom tahara, in a pure place, but his branches go out into an impure place. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains that it refers really to the idea of punishments in Olam Hazeh. Meaning, a tzaddik also has, everyone has a virus, no one's perfect. So a tzaddik also has his challenges in life. But, because his roots are firmly planted in a makom tahara, in a place of purity, you can easily prune away the bad branches and you have a healthy, pure tree. If your roots are planted in an impure place, so you're hopeless, because I cut away your branches and you're still planted in an impure place. So the Gemara says it's a rasha is planted in an impure place, and he may deserve a reward here and there, but ultimately, whatever you do to him, his roots are impure. So the tree is impure. The tzaddik is planted in a pure place, even if the tzaddik has some bad branches, like you snip it away, you do some pruning, and you have a beautiful tzaddik right there. That's how it works. So really, for us as well, we have to know that as long as our roots are planted in the right place, even though we have our issues here and there, and we have our problems, it's not a big deal, because it's not part of who we are. It doesn't grow within us. I recently heard a very good mashal. In chemistry, you have what's called, I don't even know this, I probably learned it in school at some point, but now I heard it again as a mashal. You have something called a suspension and a solution. You know, a suspension is that you mix two materials together, but they don't chemically bond. So you want to take, like, you want to make lemonade, so you dump some sugar into your lemon juice and your water. That's a suspension, because they don't chemically bond, it's just all mixed together. If you take heat to something, or other methods, you can make a chemical reaction, they chemically bond, and then it becomes a solution. So the big difference is, the suspension is very easy to separate out the pieces, because they're not really connected. So you leave your lemonade sitting on the table for a day, and you come back, the sugar on the bottom. A solution, once they've bonded chemically, you can't really separate out the different components, because it's a new entity. So to us, you know, the Russia, he is, you know, he is essentially with the tumah, with the impurity, with the ra, he becomes a solution. So you can cut off all the bad branches, but the bad is inside. It's growing inside. The roots were planted in a bad place, and it's pumping through the entire tree. So you can't do anything about it. For the tzaddik, you know, his roots are in a pure place. So he has a virus here and there, but it's like a suspension. You can cut away, you can separate out the pieces again. You can cut away the branches, you can let him sit for a little bit, and eventually the ra is taken out, and what you have left is this beautiful tzaddik, which is totally tof. So that's the idea. That's another element of this mashal. We daven every single day, from Az Yashir. Now Hashem should bring us and plant us in Eretz Yisrael. We say in Yom Tov, but in Shabbos, we daven Hashem should, tita is a lashon of planting a tree. Natia is planting a tree. Hashem should plant us like trees in our borders. We mentioned last week, Gefen Mitzrayim Tasiya, that it's referred to in Tehillim as a grapevine that was taken from Mitzrayim and planted in Eretz Yisrael. You know, our tefillah and our goal is that we should be firmly planted in a makom tahara, in our land, in a life of Torah and mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, where even if we do have our challenges here and there, ultimately what's pumping through us is tahara, is purity, And we, as people, you can cut away the bad, and what's left is essentially good. So Tu B'Shvat is the day where we're supposed to go out and look at the trees now, and behold the trees. And the tree, again, is Ayin Tzadik. You know, it's a tree for us is supposed to be, look at the tree, and think about what it means to be a tzaddik. Think about how a person can develop into a righteous person. So we see these trees, and we understand that tree that's standing in my front yard, it took years to grow, the fruits didn't come right away, it has very deep roots, has to have its moisture, has to have its sunlight. We look at ourselves, and we say in ourselves, you know, how can we grow as people? Well, we have to have patience, we have to have the sunlight and the water, the Torah, connection to Hashem, and eventually with Hashem, you know, we'll be able to bear those fruits. We notice the Ilanei Srak, the non-fruit-bearing trees, and we say they're not yet being able to do what they need to do. But we look at them on Tu B'Shvat, and we say that Las and Lavo, they'll bear fruits as well. And even those difficult parts of our lives, we feel don't bear fruits. We contemplate that they could bear fruits. And we look at the Atzei HaSadeh, which are firmly rooted, and we see ourselves, are we firmly rooted? And we can, this mashal can go so far, and we can learn so much from looking at trees. So like I said, you know, there's a minhag on Tu B'Shvat that we should eat lots of fruits in Tu B'Shvat. So everyone's fruit powders are available in Shalom's, in the candy store, in the Torah school. Everyone go out to the store and buy fruits. It's a very easy thing to do. But today, I really appreciate the value of trees, the chesed of Hashem that comes to us through trees, the beauty of trees, the taste of the fruits, the variety, the reliability of a tree that produces year to year. It's a day to yearn for the rebirth of the trees, like you mentioned last week, and to yearn for the rebirth of Klal Yisrael, the blossoming after the winter. After all the turbulent storms, then the trees are still going to come back and bear their fruits once again. And I guess if we were to have a tefillah for Tu B'Shvat, I mean, in the Siddur is nothing for Tu B'Shvat. You know, Tu B'Shvat is kind of disregarded pretty much from the Siddur. Besides, you skip Tachanun. But to me, like, the two major tefillahs that we could say personally on Tu B'Shvat is, number one, to be able to appreciate Hashem's chesed in the world. You know, and have a tefillah of Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. Look at the beautiful world you gave us full of pleasure. Like the bracha you make on blossoming fruit trees. You know, these trees are here for us to enjoy. And secondly, that tefillah that we should all become fruitful as well. That those areas of ourselves that are not yet the tzaddik should be able to develop into the area of the tzaddik. That the areas we struggle with should be able to become fruitful and accomplished. And Ritz Hashem, you know, Tu B'Shvat could be if we take in the message of the trees, Tu B'Shvat could really be a transformational day for us. That we can also become much more productive people. Ritz Hashem.